Everybody was nice to
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this second edition of Hound Pound Sports Talk. Alongside Sam Wiederhoft and Brady Klan, I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. We will have starting senior safety and radio staff member Jake Leach with us later on in the show, but right now we have our regular guest, head coach John Hebert, with us. Thanks for joining us once again, Coach.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Last time we talked to you, it was prior to the first game of the year against HSC, and we did an interview you last week before the matchup against LaSalle. Now that the first two games are over, how do you think the team has performed thus far?
Well, I think that we're finding out about our team and who we are and what our strengths and weaknesses are. We've prepared, I think, to this point, the first couple of weeks and now the third week, very well. And I think that, as far as high school football teams go, I think we're a mature group. We've got a lot of guys that, if they haven't been through a lot of varsity games, they certainly understand how important it is to approach things the right way and support each other as a team. And so, in almost every measurement, we couldn't be more pleased than we are with with this team. So, we obviously didn't win our last game, and that was disappointing. But we're certainly proud of the effort we gave and the way we represented ourselves down there in Cincinnati.
What player has surprised you by their performance in the first two games?
That's a tough one. When you take stock of this team and you look at the individuals on it, there are numerous players that have really stepped up and improved at a pretty rapid pace. So when you talk about the offense, I think there are several offensive linemen that, we came into the season and hoped that they would advance with their development, and they've done that. The Chase Crowder is a returning starter, but so we knew what we were getting in him. But Deshaun Williams up front has been outstanding. Jack Lorson is another one that has given us just great stability at the offensive line, and Justin Williams, a junior, has done a really nice job, and across the board, we've just had guys stepping in and contributing, and so as the offensive line goes, your team is definitely going to go. So we're really happy with where we are, and we think we're getting healthier. We've had a few people out, and so we're excited to look at our depth and hopefully go out against Center Grove with some guys that we haven't had at full strength.
And through these first two games going into week three, what do you believe has been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome?
Well, we got off to an extremely slow start against LaSalle in Cincinnati, and the punt return on the first special teams play that put us into a 7-point deficit was really difficult. We didn't respond the way we wanted to, where we really wanted to answer that first of all, we would have liked to have executed better, so that wouldn't have happened, but we didn't respond by kind of taking control of the situation, and LaSalle had a lot to do with that. But we ultimately toward the end of the first half found ourselves down 27-0. So going forward, we need to get off to a better start. We need to match another team's momentum and shift that into our direction. And those are easier accomplishments to say than they are to actually do. And so we are really excited about the way we've played our first 2 weeks in the second half, both Southeastern game and LaSalle. So we've just got to get, I think we've got to get our momentum and our execution just happening a little bit sooner.
Now, you talked about that slow start, and you were excited about how you guys played in the second half. What adjustments in the LaSalle game did you guys make to improve in that second half?
Well, we talked about making adjustments, schematically, where we were going to do certain things that we hadn't done in the first half. But I really think the adjustments were made internally by the players, and I think it was something that is a great sign that in both cases our team members decided that wasn't the way they wanted things to go, and they wanted to get things moving in a different direction. And so I don't think there's a successful team anywhere where you don't have players that feel that way or can respond to one another, count on one another. And so I have to believe that's what happened at halftime in each case.
What did you learn about your team in that second half comeback?
Well, just prior to the comeback, I'm going back through it in my mind, and I'm personally thinking about what we're doing and what's in front of us and what we can do better and what's the right course of action for us. But I got the sense, just in my casual observations, that our guys weren't down. They weren't hanging their heads. Their body language was good. And so things weren't going our way, and the scoreboard was definitely not in our favor. But I just didn't get the sense that anyone was letting that impact their belief about what we were going to be able to do. And that's an amazing development when you have a team that's that resilient, that things aren't going the way any of us wanted, and we'd like it to be different, but the only way that's going to happen is through action. And so I really believe when I'm talking about maturity of a team, I think that's a great indicator right there.
As we go into week three against a very good and one of our crosstown rivals, Mick Rival Center Grove, the third week of the season, has being a head coach through 3 weeks been any different than you thought it would be when you first got the job?
It's a great question. I get asked that one a lot, and it is. It's new. It's different. I still, have to stick with what I know and what I'm comfortable doing. But there's definitely been an expansion of my thought process and my role and responsibilities. I don't know. I'm just kind of taking each task that's in front of me and trying to do the best that I can and trying to put the best interest of the team in the forefront of every decision that I'm making. And so I feel like it's starting to become predictable, but I think that's the enjoyment of the ride, that the unpredictable and the not knowing what's coming next and how we're going to respond. And I think that's really the benefit of any kind of team activity, team sports. We're going to get through this thing together, and we're going to attack any challenge that comes our way. And so I'm certainly trying not to make it about me. It's about our team, and it's about all the individuals that are there working so hard every day.
Now, you spoke about predictability and unpredictability. Center Grove's offense certainly is pretty unpredictable. How do you prepare for a great triple option like they run?
Well, I personally have coached against Eric Moore and against Center Grove in their offense 12 years now or more, and in the upwards of 15 times. So while it is something that can be altered and the sequencing or ordering of drives and plays and their modes of attack can change, it's still at its core a set of about five plays. And so it's the hard part is that for a lot of these guys on our team that are playing defense, it may be the first time really that they've executed our system against this offense. And so it's really about what the work we do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and now today, to get everybody on the same page, to get people reading things the same way, so that when the play unfolds on Friday night, we're all seeing it clearly and responding appropriately. So it's about teaching, it's about learning, it's about communicating, and I think this week our defensive players have done a really nice job of taking ownership of those, you know, those approaches.
And leading up to the first conference and rivalry game, what has the energy been like in practice all week?
It's been great. I have to, you know, we've had two big games already. The first one's always a big game, and plus it was Southeastern, and you know they're a bordering district, and then you know LaSalle is a nationally ranked program. There was an energy level there, a buzz that was created by the anticipation of playing in that kind of an event. But this one's different. I think everyone here respects Center Grove. We understand how good of a football program they have, and just how hard they're going to compete. And I think that playing this game in front of our home crowd for the first time has everyone really excited. And then, you know, to add even more intrigue to the matchup, we play for the Copper Kettle Trophy, which is a you know, an added incentive, and has us being you know, we won it back last year after not having it in 2013. So we want to keep that trophy where it is. And you know, our seniors know that's an accomplishment that the seniors will carry with them, and so I think it's all led by our seniors. They really want to be successful, and so there's definitely accountability out there on the practice field and in terms of our preparation, because they really want to succeed.
We've talked about the offense for Center Grove. What defensive problems do they pose for our offense?
Well, they're very well coached. They're disciplined, and they, you know, whatever risks they take are calculated, and so you're not going to catch them in compromising positions very often. They're not just going to gamble for the sake of trying to create big plays, and so they make you work the ball, you know, the entire length of the field, and you know, that I think that's why they keep people out of the end zone so much, is that they just play really sound defense. From a personnel standpoint, they have two defensive linemen that are Division I recruits. They're just fantastic players, and they, you know, they can change your thought process pretty quickly, because it's difficult to run the ball on them. So we will have to, you know, as I mentioned earlier, the offensive line and you know, guys stepping up and understanding our game plan, we're going to have to really execute in order to move the ball consistently and produce first downs and put ourselves in a position to score some points.
So you have four captains for the team: Alex Akins, Justice Schumann, Chase Crowder, along with Michael Vitrup. How did you decide those four players were going to be your team captains?
Well, this is something that we're doing a little differently this year, but I, you know, have had many conversations with the coaching staff, and through observations in you know, in the weight room and on the practice field, and really just in the locker room, just overall, you know, trying to locate individuals that have the respect of coaches and players alike, and people that you know, that they, their priority is on action and not as much words. People that have earned the trust of everybody inside our program, and you know, and that's where these four individuals come in. Now tonight, in fact, on Thursday, we're going to announce four new captains, and not that the four that you just mentioned are not our captains. They are, but we're trying to increase our leadership roles and add to what we think is, you know, a great strength of ours, which is just quality individuals who put the team above themselves and, you know, are really going to do anything they can to help our effort become successful. So I think in the first 2 weeks, those four guys, they've just been outstanding. If you look across the board, and for instance, in the game against LaSalle, when the chips were down, it was Michael Vitrup and Alex Akins, whose key plays, you know, there were many others, but those two, you know, they really put the team on their backs and showed that we can be successful, and they inspired their teammates to step up their effort and their play, and we got ourselves back into that ball game. And Justice Schumann and Chase Crowder, they do that every single play. So we're so proud of them, and I'm proud to announce 4 new captains at tonight's practice.
And speaking of Michael Victrop, we saw him have 2 unbelievable rushing touchdowns in the first 2 games. What do you have to say about his performance in the first 2 weeks?
Michael is a special player, and, you know, anytime you have your quarterback from the previous season coming back, I think you're at an advantage as a team. But in Michael's case, the advantages are very diverse because he is such a great, intelligent, and vocal communicator. He understands what the coaching staff is trying to do, and he holds himself accountable. He has every opportunity probably to identify himself as having a good game or playing well, but he looks at the things that he wants to improve on, and he focuses on those things, which is a great sign. Michael can make plays that I don't know very many people can make. And we saw that definitely in the second half, a couple of those plays on 4th down and over 10 when, the protection, which was pretty solid, started to, show some cracks in it. And he moved out of the pocket and improvised and, made a play to get away from a contained rusher, and then made another play to get himself into the end zone when one of the defensive backs was trying to zero in on him and tackle him. So those are the kinds of things he brings to the table that you can't teach. And it's really what the Air Force Academy sees as desirable. But I think more than his athletic ability is just the person that he is, and how much respect people have for him. And, he's a compassionate leader. He embraces his teammates. He cares about people, and so we're very excited to build an offense around that kind of a guy.
And throughout the last couple of segments, you've mentioned a good amount about the coaching staff. Which coach or coaches do you think have really stepped up and taken a bigger leadership role now that you are the head coach?
Well, I am now fortunate to have a little, have the ability to move around on the practice field and spend a little bit of time at each station, with each position coach. And I'm just in amazement at the quality of coaches that we have here. And we don't have anyone on this coaching staff that isn't a fantastic coach that puts the best interest of young people at the forefront of what we're trying to do. And for me as a head coach to know that I can trust every one of them to do the right thing and to lead the people in our program is invaluable. And really, it's being a head coach here with these guys is a dream. And I don't know, I don't know. It's like a different coach at various times steps up with a suggestion or a contribution, or I find out something that they've done or are doing that I wasn't focusing on before, but I realize how important it is, or the payoff slowly reveals itself. I mean, there's just so many things going on in the inner workings of our preparation that the adults in our program are leading and doing such a wonderful job, and it inspires me to do my best to step up my game, because I don't want to let them down, because they certainly aren't letting me down.
All right, last question here, Coach. We talk to the players every week about what music they listen to get dialed in before games. I don't know if you do the same, but what do you do in specific to get focused for every game?
Well, when I was a player, I did the same thing that they do. I'd listen to music to try to get yourself into a mental state that allows you to think clearly and act decisively. But as a coach, I really believe
and this is with two games under my belt as a head coach, of course. So I have a lot more experience ahead of me to clarify this answer. But I think it starts on Saturday when you start preparing, really looking at film of your opponent, and then that accelerates on Sunday, and then the game plan gets formed, and all week long you're trying to bring along the other individuals in your program to, you know, unify the approach and the vision. And I think it's a week long process that by the time you get to Friday, you of course you don't know everything that your opponent's going to do, but you've prepared, you've developed a plan, you've executed that plan throughout the week and communicated it. And so when you get to Friday, the ball is kicked off. Hopefully there's a sense there of a degree of peace of mind that we've done what we can, and now it's a matter of going out there and just playing. And so, one thing is, as a play caller, as a coordinator, defensively, offensively, or head coach, you've got to have a clear state of mind. Sometimes decisions, they reveal themselves to you. Sometimes, maybe you've overlooked something, and here's a pivotal moment and key decision has to be made. So you just want to try to be in a position where you can make those kinds of decisions that can benefit your team. And that's where having such a great team atmosphere and all these great coaches and players really helps, because whatever might get overlooked can get caught by somebody else, and we can make these decisions together, because it's definitely a team effort.
All right, another great interview with head coach John Hebert. Thanks for joining us again, Coach.
Thank you very much. Go Hounds.
Exactly. When we come back, we'll have starting senior safety and radio staff member Jake Leach with us. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk on The Edge. Welcome back here to Hound Pound Sports Talk. The Carmel Greyhounds got knocked down last week, but hopefully they can get back up again this week against Center Grove. Also, breaking news, Tom Brady was knocked down, but unfortunately he just got back up again. His 4-game suspension was nullified, so bad news for Indianapolis Colts fans. Let's recap that Hebert interview, another great interview. Such a well-spoken man. What do you think, Brady?
I think he did a great job explaining pretty much everything that happened in that last first 2 weeks. I mean, he explained back, even all the way back to the HSC game, and how they adjusted there, and even to small specific things like what the players' emotions and everything were like during the halftime of the LaSalle game. They were down 27-7 at halftime, so I think he did a great job really explaining and showing everything that was going on and pretty much making us feel like we were right there in the locker room with them at halftime.
I really liked when he said that the players really weren't knocked down at halftime, being down 27-7. I think that shows a lot about your team when you're not really feeling down after being down 20 points. And I think that really fueled the comeback. And I also like what he said about Vic Tripp and his leadership and his performance going throughout 2 weeks, now going into week three. And I kind of like the idea of the four new leaders, or the four new team captains this week. I think that'll be interesting. And I think what he said, he wants to expand leadership roles, and I really like that. I think the whole team should act as leaders, and I really like the idea of having four new captains.
I'm not going to lie. I knew about that new tradition coming into the show today, but I'm not going to reveal who the captains are on air. That just ruined the surprise. But just hearing him speak, he gave credit to the coaches so much and the players, and he talked about the leadership of everyone. And that just shows how humble of a coach he is. And that's such a great attribute to have. And I think that'll take the Greyhounds far this year, and it'll take them very far throughout his coaching tenure. All right, so now we have starting safety Jake Leach here with us. Thanks for joining us, Jake.
Well, guys, I want to start by saying thank you for having me. And I just want to let you know, all three of you guys, Sam, Brady, Jack, doing a phenomenal job.
All right. Thanks, thank you, Jake. Now, Jake, you're the starting safety. This is your first year starting. How do you feel the defense has performed the first two games?
Well, you know, the thing about Carmel is defensively, we've always been really sound, and we spend a lot of time focusing on little details. So compared to last year, we're, you know, one and the same. And the thing is, like, Carmel always relies on the defense to step up, and we've been doing that this year. Obviously, first half of LaSalle last week, it was tough. You know, that was a good team, Division I athletes, and a lot of us aren't Division I athletes, at least football-wise. But, you know, those guys are all faster than us, and we got to rely on our fundamentals to play hard. And obviously, HSE was a great performance. Held them to basically 0 points until the fourth quarter, so the defense is playing really well this year.
So I asked Coach Hebert, I asked him what adjustments you made at halftime, and he said it really wasn't me. It was more of the players on the defensive side. So what were some of the adjustments that you guys made in that second half?
Obviously, we made, like, technical, you know, they're doing this formation, we got to adjust this and adjust our slants a little bit. But the biggest adjustments we made at halftime were mental. And, I mean, going into that game, nobody would say it, but I think we were scared. Those guys were big, they were fast. And after halftime, we were kind of like, we got to wake up and we can play with these guys. So just the mood in the locker room at halftime, that was the biggest adjustment, getting, you know, motivated.
And as you prepare for your first MIC conference game, what are you guys doing differently than you did last week from a very good LaSalle team who was focused really on their running back to another team, Center Grove, that has a very solid running back as well?
The thing about preparing for Center Grove is preparing for that wing tee, which requires a lot of watching film. The amount of reps in practice we're getting is increased a lot. And, you know, it's different preparing for a MIC team because this is a team we see every year. LaSalle is kind of like, you know, it's questionable. We've never heard of them. So it's a lot of fun preparing for Center Grove. I mean, I love this week. The intensity in practice is just unbelievable. It's incredible to see, like, you know, people are stepping up because it's Center Grove. It's a big rivalry, you know, MIC game, and, you know, it's exciting. So
now out of the wing tee offense, it's mainly running. You don't see a ton of passing. They do pass, but mainly a rushing attack. So as a secondary player, what do you do in specific to prepare?
Well, the pass game that they do run is all short. So it's almost like playing on a sweep or something. And, you know, the preparation is different because, you know, a lot of teams we play spread it out. We got to drop back deep. But when we're preparing for Center Grove, we're not really focused on getting deep on our drops. We're just focused on getting up there and making plays. So
leading up to this huge rivalry game, what has the energy been like in practice this week?
It's been awesome. You know, this has been our best week of practice all year, I think. People are prepared. People are bringing intensity to practice. And, you know, it's different than last week because this is a team we really want to beat. And, you know, it's a rivalry. First home game. We know the fans are going to be psyched, and we just want to beat up on this team. So,
and you say the fans are going to be psyched. You saw in the first two games, that HSC was a smaller but not terrible student section turnout in that one, and LaSalle was right around 12 guys at the student section, but still they brought some energy. Is that a great feeling, just running out of the tunnel or the helmet, wherever you guys run out of, and just having all the fans cheering for you guys? What's the feeling like that?
There really is no greater feeling. I mean, every Friday night, I look forward to it. It's unbelievable. You know, you get chills. And to be honest, even running out to 12 fans, like those guys at LaSalle, mad props to them because they were going nuts. And I think they were louder than the whole LaSalle student section. So, you know, our fans are great and they're going to make it awesome. So
a little surprise for you guys. I know we've been talking about it, but when you run out of the helmet for all home games this year, Jack, myself, Sam, and Brady created an intro that you guys will run out of the helmet to. So if you're heading to the game, be sure to tune into that. So you talked about getting jacked up, getting really excited to play Center Grove. Is this your favorite rivalry game, or is Warren Central?
That's tough. You know, Warren Central is a big game, too. But really, I think it's different. I think Center Grove is a lot like Carmel. And because of that, we both play really traditional offenses and defenses. And, you know, it's just been a big head-to-head clash. Like, Warren Central is definitely a fun game to prepare for, but there's no rivalry like Center Grove.
So Jack mentioned that you got to get jacked up and you got to get really dialed in for this game. So I want to know, what's on your pregame playlist before game time? You're listening in the locker room. What are you listening to?
My pregame playlist is pretty traditional. I've stuck to the same guns my whole life. So ever since about third grade, my iPods looked about the same. You know, you can't go wrong with Eminem, Curtain Call, you know, great album. Let's see here. Lil Wayne, you know.
Okay, okay.
The Carter 3 range, yeah. The Carter 4. You know, it depends on what I'm feeling that day. But if I want to listen to lyrics that get me jacked up, you know, Eminem's for sure the go-to. But Lil Wayne's got some awesome beats that, you know, make me hyped.
So. Okay, so Victor said that he listened to classical music on the bus ride to games. So you're not into that?
I'm not surprised that Victor listens to classical music because he plays classical music. True. But, you know, I understand that. He's a quarterback. He's got to get in the zone. You know, he's got to be focused and calm. But when you're playing defense, man, it's like,
you're just running out there making hits,
you
right?
You need to get as crazy as you can.
It'll be intense.
I got to think, but nowhere near what he has to think, so.
I know you and Nick Mazza certainly get crazy.
Yes, sir.
You all right. Now, you mentioned how there might be some D1 athletes in other sports on the football team, and that's the case for yourself. You recently committed to Cleveland State to play lacrosse, a Division I school. But you also play football. You're a senior playing, starting for Carmel. What do you love to play more? You may be better at lacrosse. I'm not saying you're bad at football, but which do you love to play more, football or lacrosse?
That's a really interesting question that I actually get a lot. And it's no matter how many times people ask me that question, it's impossible to answer. I mean, I've been playing both sports my whole life. I love them. Lacrosse is obviously my best sport, but there's something different about football. You know, it's like, you play once a week. You only get so many games every year. And I've been playing with these guys my whole life growing up, you know. And, you know, lacrosse games, we get good fan bases, but there's no feeling, like you said earlier, to running out of that helmet to 8,000 screaming fans. And, you know, there's just something special about Friday night football that I think just makes it the best thing there is.
And I know you said, like we talked about a minute ago, the feeling of running out of the helmet, but what is the one thing you're looking forward to this week, your first home game of the season against Center Grove?
I'm looking forward to it all, man. Like, tomorrow is just going to be rough during school. It's going to be like, I'm going to be nervous,
so out of it.
Excited. Not, I'm not going to be able to focus on school. Sorry, teachers, but, you know, it's like, I'm just looking forward to going out there, putting on a show for our fans and bringing home that copper kettle, keeping it home, actually.
You had Coach Hebert as the defensive coordinator for the past 2 years. Do you think he's filled that head coaching position well? Do you think he's kind of fit into that coaching position well for the past two games?
Absolutely. The thing about Coach Hebert is even when he was the defensive coordinator, he was still taking on a huge role with the whole team. And I think he's probably the greatest motivator that I've ever had as a coach. And, you know, he's doing a great job. So,
Mentioned him being a great motivator. Is that his best attribute or is something else?
His best attribute is his preparation. You know, he's a really smart, like he's the smartest man I've probably ever met. And the amount of time he spends watching huddle is sickening. You know, like, every time you see him, he's on huddle, you know, it's like, he's always preparing. He knows everything the other team's going to do and he knows exactly what we need to do to stop it. So I think that's incredible.
And you said a second ago the copper kettle's been here at the trophy case in Carmel the last couple of years. Now, sort of a tradition, when we win the copper kettle, eating cereal out of it the next day, what's your go-to cereal out of the copper kettle?
Go-to cereal? I think last year we went Captain Crunch, so, you know, that's always a good one, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where we go this year.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Jake. It was a great interview. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Stay tuned here on Hound Pound Sports Talk 91.3 WHJE.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome back here to Hound Pound Sports Talk with Jack, Sam, and Brady. Jake Leach is actually going to stay with us. We'll ask him another couple questions later. But those two interviews were really good, gentlemen.
Yeah, they really were. The both of them very well-spoken, very very well-spoken. And Coach Hebert always giving us great information along with Jake Leach, who's sticking with us through the break.
They both sound really excited for the next game against Center Grove, which I think is a great sign. It's a huge rivalry game. And, you know, I think Jake sounded really – he really wants to be really intense on the defensive side. And you know, they're ready. I think they're really ready for this first league game.
I think that that word intense sort of wraps up what it's going to be like Friday. In the morning, Channel 6, I think, will be at the stadium. I know a lot of guys are going going there in the morning. I think we'll all be there to try and get on TV. The tailgate after school, that'll be crazy. I know a few more TV stations will be there. And then...
It's Hawaiian theme.
Hawaiian theme. The entire day is just going to be a festival, basically. Getting ready for the first home game of the season that happens to be against the biggest rival on the schedule, so I can't wait.
And you can't forget to mention our pregame show we're going to have for that game, too. Simulcast with us along with TV. J.D. Arlen will be joining us. We'll actually be live on the track in front of the student section, so be sure to tune into CHTV on that one, and we'll be live broadcasting that, too.
It'll be a college game day style theme, and then at the end, we'll have a Center Grove helmet and a Carmel helmet, and I'll make my prediction, the headgear prediction, just like Lee Corso on who's going to win. So I can't wait for that game against Center Grove. Now Jake, we had another question for you. Those captains that are being named each week, they're different every week, but the four that Coach Hebert named at the beginning, I believe they're Justice Schumann, Alex Akins, Noah Burks, and Michael Victrup. Talk about those guys.
Well, the thing is, I mean, all those guys are awesome leaders, definitely big leaders on our team. But the concept of picking four new captains every week, I really love because, I mean, it doesn't really matter, like, if you're a captain or not. Like, coming from a school of Carmel, we have so many great players, great leaders, and it doesn't matter if you're a captain or not because everyone's going to be a leader on our team, and that's just a great feeling, you know?
All right, yeah. Those guys, I've seen them play since... What, Carmel Dads Club football?
Oh, yeah. Second grade, exactly. First year tackle. Oh yeah,
you've been playing with them. They've been that way their entire life, and you knew it was going to culminate in them being a captain or a leader at some point on a varsity football team. And there's no surprise there.
All right, I'm gonna get deep here for a second. Do you consider yourself a leader on this team?
Definitely. Whether I get named captain or not, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm still going to be a leader. I'm going to do everything I can to lead these guys. And, you know, I just want to be a great example for younger players, too. So, you know, I'm always out there working hard in practice and stuff and making good decisions on and off the field. So, you know.
And you talk about being an example or a leader for the younger players. What younger players have really stood out to you in these first couple weeks and throughout the summer?
Whew, that's tough because there's so many standing out and just at my position alone, it's amazing to see the growth of guys like Mark Allen, Matthew Wolfie, Cade Koenig, Austin Newland just stepped into safety. So I could talk about those guys for days. They're all great players, great attitudes. They're always working hard. And, you know, I'm pushing them in practice. Sometimes I get a little frustrated because I'm beating them up a little bit. But, you know, you gotta toughen them up somehow, right?
I love the confidence you had when you said you were a leader. I mean, you know, don't be afraid to acknowledge that you're a leader. You just have to go out there and do it and back it up. And we've certainly seen that from you this year. Now, who do you think, besides or along with yourself, has been the biggest leader on the defensive side of the ball?
I got to say Alex Akins, fellow safety, fellow Laxbro. He's probably one of the best examples that you can set on a team. He's great in the classroom, great on the field. He's always making plays. And it's hard to miss the fact that he's leading our team in tackles by a large margin right now. And just that alone, you know, he's making plays. He's always vocal. He's always positive. So he's just a great leader.
And you said many leaders. Now, you're on the defensive side of the ball, but if you had to choose one offensive player, now we've talked about to Coach Hebert about this, and we talked a little bit earlier on this one about the captains. So what offensive players have really stood out to you? I know you're on the defensive side, but looking across, playing against them, what about the offense?
Definitely Michael Victrup, you know, quarterback, always has to be a leader. But I think the biggest leader on our offense has to be Chase Crowder. He works so hard, and he's always pushing guys around him. When people around him are messing up mentally and stuff, he's always trying to get him right back on track. So he's just awesome.
So we mentioned a lot of new things coming up for Center Grove. Another new thing is that you and Brady actually programmed the pregame music coming up for this next home game. So can you just give us a quick preview of what's going to be on that?
Well, we're hoping that it's going to be a little bit different from the past.
Uh-huh.
In the past, they've kind of just played like top 40 pop songs and stuff. And this year, we're trying to gear it a little bit more towards the players. And so me as a player personally chose some of the music. So hopefully you guys like it.
Yeah, no, and I know in talking to the players, they're asking for certain things, certain, I mean, we've had some Miley Cyrus last year and that got no one hype at all. So, I mean, this next year, I feel like the players are really going to enjoy the pregame music.
Listen, no one gets pumped up listening to Party in the USA.
No.
That's very true. Now, we talked about leaders, but who's the guy that lightens up the locker room? Who's the clown of the football team?
The clowns, I mean, there's a couple, you know. You got guys like Mazza, he's always making people laugh. Rodney Haywood seems to be the center of a lot of jokes lately.
Always has been.
That started JV last year, so, you know, we're always trying to get him to dance, but he just won't do it.
Oh, yeah, good luck at that, man.
He actually did dance one time last year when Coach Wright came up there and started dancing, and Rodney just got pushed down and actually danced with Coach Wright, so that was really funny at the end of last year.
Just hearing stories about, you know, I don't even know what to say. The camaraderie, that's it, in the locker room, and all the funny stuff that you guys do. It makes me want to play football. I quit in sixth grade, but you know, it's great to hear, and I think that'll keep you guys loose throughout the year, and it'll lead to success.
Yeah, I'm 1 year out of playing football. I quit last year so I could broadcast it this year. And I mean, that's the one thing I miss the most is that relationship that everyone has in the locker room and just joking around on the field and everywhere. So the fun that we all had and being part of that team was probably one of the best feelings besides running out of the helmet, like you said earlier, on Friday night. So, I mean, those two right there are the two best feelings being on that team.
What do you think separates Carmel football from any other program?
Well, first of all, let's start off with facilities are insane.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally, it does not get better. Visiting colleges and stuff, Carmel stands out in Division I colleges. And another thing that separates us is we've kind of been underestimated our whole lives just because we come from a privileged area. People don't think we can really do much. And to me, that makes me think we have to work harder because we have privileges and we have to be able to, like, fight through those, you know, and get better. But another thing is we've all been playing together, like you said, since, like, second grade. And we've just grown up hating all these other areas around us, you know. So brotherhood gets used a lot, but I truly think these guys are my family, and that brings us together to beat teams that maybe don't have that camaraderie.
Now, you mentioned working hard because other schools think we're privileged and can't do quite as well on the football field. Now, that comes with some hostile environments going on the road. What's the most energetic, hostile, whatever you want to say, environment you've ever played in that's not at home?
Whew. Probably last year at Trinity. I mean, we got off the buses, and I don't know if Coach Hebert's ever said anything about this, but the Trinity fans, when we got off the bus, literally laughed at us. They looked at us and laughed. So, I mean, I don't know. We're a bunch of undersized kids getting off a bus looking like we're about to go smack somebody who's a national powerhouse. People laugh at us when we get off the bus, but, I mean, as soon as we step on the field, it ends pretty quickly.
I love that confidence, and that Trinity game last year, I wasn't able to go, but I listened to the broadcast, and that was a great game. I mean,
Nick Stacy hit the game winner.
Nick Stacy hit the game winner, game-winning field goal. I believe it was 42 yards.
Yeah,
42 yards away, which for high school, that's a lengthy kick. So that was exciting. From games I've been to, I really think that away against Noblesville in sectional last year,
I'd have to agree.
That was very, very intense. You know, Center Grove going there, they have a really small stadium, so there's a ton of fans that pack in. But the sectional game against Noblesville last year, what was that like?
Going back to that game, bringing that up, that definitely reminds me. Like, I remember on social media that week, like, Noblesville athletic department was, you know, like, tweeting out stuff, and people from the school were tweeting out, like, burning Carmel shirts and stuff. I don't know if you guys remember that happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
But I have never pulled up to a bus and seen so much hate and gotten so many boos from a crowd. It made us all angry, and we wanted to go in there and smack them around a little bit, so.
Yeah, like you said, you got off the bus, and there were people booing you. There were people burning the jerseys or shirts and stuff right there, so it's like LeBron coming back to Cleveland or LeBron leaving Cleveland, but you sort of get right in the feeling of it. So you have that, and how does that fuel your emotions as the team? I know you said it made you pretty angry, but how did that lead into the game and affect your style of play?
I mean, we were definitely more aggressive, but I also think for some of the kids last year, it was kind of like overwhelming, and it overwhelmed their thoughts a little bit. So they were too busy thinking about that sometimes. And I don't know if you remember that game, but it was pretty close. So closer than we would have liked.
Yeah, that was a really exciting game. Well, thank you for joining us once again, Jake. We didn't expect you to stay for the rest of the time, but fortunately you were able to do that. And once again, we had a great interview with Coach John Hebert. Be sure to tune into the broadcast for Carmel versus Center Grove this Friday. It'll start about 7 at game time, and pregame starts at 6. We'll be live on the radio, and we'll also be on TV for a special pregame segment. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. We're on every 2 weeks, but we have a Labor Day screws up our schedule, sort of, so we'll be on next Thursday as well. We'll have Hebert back and another player. Thanks for listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk here on 91.3 alongside Brady Klein and Sam Wiederhoft. I'm Jack Kaiser. You're listening to the voice of the Greyhounds.